I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. Time passes very, very quickly, and I don't think you need me to tell you that in a few days' time, we'll be officially starting winter. So you see how fast time passes. Soon, half a year will be over, and then we'll be looking towards the second half of the year. The question is, what have we been doing for the Lord in the course of this half a year? And if we have not done well for this year, we still have another half a year to go to look forward to. And let us be sure that we will be doing well for the Lord in the remaining part of the year and for the future. And let's pray that all of us here may be doing so well that when the Lord returns, we may be able to hear him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now this morning my topic is, "What is there for me in my service unto the Lord?" Now this is a question that people very often ask, and that is, what is there in for me for doing this and for doing that? Before we commit ourselves to partake in a project, or whether it be in the school or whether it's in our place or work or in the church or anywhere, it is quite normal for us to ask this question: what is there for me in this thing that I'm going to commit myself to do? But friends, I'd like us to see that Joshua actually didn't ask this question when the Lord called him to undertake the mission to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise, to conquer the land of promise. He didn't ask that question. No, he simply obeyed and he went. And then in fact, you will see in the course of today's message that he didn't receive his reward first. He was the last to receive the reward from the Lord. So this morning, as we consider this topic, what is there in for me from the Lord, let us look at the case of Joshua. Now look at Joshua chapter 19, verse 49. Joshua 19:49. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 19, verse 49. When they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coast, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them. Now the children of Israel had conquered the promised land. The land had been distributed among the tribes and the various families among the Israelites. And now, who was the last one to get his inheritance? None other than Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, how would you feel if you were Joshua? Tribe after tribe, families after families got their inheritance, and then the properties that they get might be very, very good, very beautiful. The land was very fertile. The land was well watered. Yes, how would you feel? Now, anyone lesser than Joshua would feel very, very inclined to get one of these great pieces of land for fear that if he didn't get that piece of land, he might miss a great opportunity and would never be able to get another piece of land as good as that. Yes, and he would surely be filled with envy and regret if he doesn't make the decision to get the piece of land when it is available for him to get. Now, the great thing about Joshua was he never set his eyes on all these earthly things. No. If he did, he surely would have gone for the best, and he would be able to get the best. Why? Because he was the leader who led them to conquer the promised land. But no, Joshua was not self-centered. The land he got must be the land from the one true living God in accordance with God's word. And so he waited for it. It didn't matter if he was the last to get his inheritance. And so we read that the Lord finally did not forget Joshua. We read in Joshua chapter 19, verse 50. Yes, it tells us, according to the word of the Lord, they, the children of Israel, gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim. and he built the city and dwelt therein. So you see, here was one who put God first, others second, and last of all himself. What a great example he set for us to follow. Now I'd like us to look at a portion Joshua received from the one true living God, and let us, all of us, learn precious lessons related to this portion that he got. Now first, let us again see that he received this inheritance according to the word of God. Let us not miss these very, very important words, this important line. According to God's word, he received his inheritance according to God's word. Joshua was one who was very resolute in acting in accordance to God's word. Remember when he first, when he was called to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, the Lord said this to him. Yes, they said this to him in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now Joshua never forgot those words. And he knew and believed that if he wanted to be successful, if he wanted to be prosperous in his leadership of the children of Israel, that was what he must do. He must be acting in accordance to God's word. And now in the receipt of this inheritance from the one true living God, he was also going to act in accordance to the word of the Lord. And of course, to act in accordance to the word of God, Joshua understood that he must be glorifying the name of the Lord. If he were to act in accordance to the word of God, he would not be glorifying to the Lord if he was self-serving in receiving the inheritance. If he was a grabber, if he were to grab pieces of land, my dear friends, then he would of course not be glorifying to the Lord. So he acted in faith by receiving his inheritance last. He was not going to say, yes, if I miss the chance of getting this piece of land, I know I'm not going to get another piece of land as good as this. No, he was not going to say that. As far as he was concerned, the best for him must be according to the word of God. And so he waited selflessly. Yes, let me be the last. Acted selflessly and in faith in the one true living God. And he knew that when the Lord gave him, the Lord was going to give him his best for Joshua, something that Joshua would reckon to be the best for him. Now then, as for us, the Lord sums up for us how we may glorify him as we look for him to provide us provisions. Yes, how may we glorify him? The Lord sums up for us. Again, we must act in faith and we must be selfless. The Lord says this in Matthew 6:33. The very, very famous verse. We all know it. Let's say it together. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these shall be added unto you. So, our approach must be the same, my dear friends, like Joshua's approach. Our approach must be selfless. We must be seeking first the kingdom of God, not the things that we are looking for, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We must act selflessly when we look for things from the Lord. Act selflessly and then also act in faith. Put the Lord first, put his kingdom first, and put his righteousness first. Yes, and that is what we must do, and realize that when the Lord provides for us, he will surely give us his best. Now, Singapore. Now, the Singapore I knew years ago, that would be about 22 years and ago, and before that time. Yes, I remember quite distinctly that the people there were quite in inclined to grab. I do not know whether the people still behave the same way or not today. But in those days, people were quite inclined to grab. And they were inclined to grab because they were very fearful that if they missed the opportunity for getting certain things, the opportunity might not come again. So they would grab. Even in a matter of toys, people would grab. I still remember years ago reading this news in the papers about the people grabbing this toy called Hello Kitty. Remember that toy? Hello Kitty, many years ago. And actually this toy was distributed by McDonald's in those days. And McDonald's, of course, distributed this toy as a gimmick to sell their hamburgers. And so these toys was distributed and they were sold at a very heavily discounted price, I think. And so there were long queues at various McDonald's outlets. And I read about what happened at one of these outlets. People queue for this Hello Kitty, not so much for the hamburger, but for the Hello Kitty. Yes, then the ugly grabbing mentality of the Singaporeans in those days very quickly surfaced. People queuing for that toy fought. Yes, they fought for fear that they would not be able to get that toy for their kids. Now, friends, we may laugh at that, but it was true. And then this grabbing mentality was also very much displayed in the car park. I do not know whether it's still true today, possibly still true. Yes, if you were slow in reversing your car into the car park that you want to get your car into, bad luck for you, because somebody from behind, the grabber, is going to grab that lot from you. So people grab. They will grab property, they will grab cars, they will grab card membership, and also vacancies for the children in school. Yes, and so what the parents would do is they would buy a property or rent a property near a school that was very much sought after, hoping that with the close proximity to the school, their children will get a better chance of getting entry into the school. But you know, the real trouble is this. Yes? Why? But let me ask this question. Why do people grab? Yes. People grab because they are self-centered and they are covetous. But you know what the problem is, as I was going to say? The problem is that we Christians, or we professed Christians, do the same thing. We join in the grabbing crowd too. We do not act according to the word of God. We then be selfless, and we then be acting in faith, seeking first the kingdom of God. We all know this first. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is merely head knowledge. We give it mental assent. That's all. Yes? We then say, Lord, if you say so, meaning from our heart, Lord, if you say so, I believe you, and I'll take you at your word. We don't dare to act in that manner. But friends, let's be like Joshua. He received his portion according to God's word. Let us receive all our provisions from the one true living God. In that way, yes, according to God's word. Let us trust him and let us seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. And believe that all things that we are in need of, the Lord will provide for us. Now, Joshua did not grab at all because he was acting in faith that the Lord would grant him the inheritance that the Lord deemed best for him. He knew that when the Lord gave him, the Lord was going to give his best to him. And the Lord indeed has his best inheritance for us. And this inheritance that the Lord has for us, it is the best inheritance. It is not an earthly inheritance, but a heavenly one. Now you remember that great saint of the Old Testament, Abraham. Abraham was a very, very rich man. The Lord called him and he went into the promised land as when the Lord called him. He went and the Lord enriched him and he became a very, very wealthy man indeed. But there was one thing about Abraham which we must not miss. During his sojourn in the promised land, Abraham did not own any piece of He did not. He lived in tents. That's the only piece of real estate that he owned was actually a piece of burial ground, which he made use of to bury his wife, which was later also his burial ground. You know why? Why did Abraham do that? Abraham did that because he was looking for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we read this in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Now let's look at these two verses. Very worthwhile for us to look at. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and verses 9 and 11. Okay. Alright. By faith, you see, Abraham acted in faith. He didn't care to own any earthly property. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. My dear friends, if we do what Abraham did, if we by faith keep on looking for that heavenly city as our ultimate possession, we will see all the things on this earth in a different light. We will see them in the correct perspective. We will see that all these earthly things, things on this world, are really temporal, corruptible, and vanity of vanities. Often they are just nothingness of nothingnesses. That's what it means, vanity of vanities. And so there is no need for us to grab them. There is no need for us to be covetous in wanting to get them. No need for us to, because we are looking for the real thing, the ultimate possession, that heavenly city which the Lord has prepared for us. Next, let us see that Joshua received an inheritance among his brethren. Okay, look at Joshua chapter 19, verse 50. Right, you see that he actually received his inheritance among his brethren. Joshua 19:50. According to the word of the Lord, the children of Israel gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah, in where? In Mount Ephraim, not anywhere else, but in Mount Ephraim. And he built the city and dwelt therein. Now Joshua came from the tribe of Ephraim, and he received his inheritance within the portion of land that was given to the land to the tribe of Ephraim. Remember, the land was divided among the tribes, and Joshua belonged to the tribe of Ephraim. And when he received that property, he received that property within the land of Ephraim. He didn't pull rank and say, since I am your leader, I must have a piece of land that is absolutely good. I must have a piece of land which is special. I will live where I'm pleased to live in. I don't have to live within the borders of Ephraim. Now maybe I should be living in the land of Judah. I should go to Judah, find a very beautiful piece of land and live there. No, my dear friends, Joshua obeyed the one true living God. And he acted like a true Ephraimite. Yes, he was a man really of great humility, of wanting to live among his brethren. He was not social, he was not status conscious. No, was not willing to live among his brethren. The chief in this world, you know, often will not want to come down to the level of those who are of lower rank. One time, my wife and I were in a hotel lift. I don't think my wife can remember that incident. My wife and I were in a hotel lift, and we saw two Japanese men. And one was much older than the other one, And they were apparently traveling for business and traveling for the company, which was the same company that both were working in. Now, the younger man, as expected, pressed button number two, and he stopped at level number two. The older man, the more senior man, went up to level 10, as expected. No, the older man who was more senior in rank would not come down to level 2. And the junior man would not dare to go up to level 10. Friends, that is the differentiation people in the world would make. There's usually in the corporate world, the senior man would not humble himself to come down to the level of the junior man, but not Joshua. He would live among his brethren. He was one who would humble himself. He was one who would identify himself with his people, with his brethren. Do we not see why he was such a great and successful leader? Do we not see why he was such an effective servant for the Lord? My dear friends, he had this great and wonderful quality known as humility. He had it. Now the question is, do we have it? Do you have humility? What's your answer? Yes? The moment you say yes, you don't have it. And that's the truth, yes. Because humility is such an elusive quality. The moment you think you have it, you don't have it. Yes, that's what humility is. And this is the quality all of us must be striving for if we want to serve the Lord well. And the most supreme example of humility was one that was shown by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He came not to be ministered unto. In other words, he did not come to be served, but he came to minister. He who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the whole wide universe, humbled himself to take on human flesh. And so we read this about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn to that passage, but let me just read this passage from the book of Philippians to show to you how humble our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was in taking on human flesh. Philippians 2:5-8. Paul, writing to the Christians in the city of Philippi, said this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." In other words, he didn't think that he was infringing on somebody else's right to think of himself as God, because he's God. "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He became man. He became Emmanuel. He came and dwelt among men." God came and dwelt among men. When Joshua dwelt among them, his fellow Ephraimites, he thought it was already very great, right? But friends, the one true living God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, came and dwelt among men. Emmanuel, God with us. He did not stay in heaven's glory, but he left it and lived among men in order that he might save sinful men. Yes, he, the Son of God, became the Son of Man, that we, the sons of men, might become the sons of God. He humbled himself to identify himself with us. Now the question is this: yes, have we humbled ourselves to identify ourselves with him? He has humbled himself to identify with us, but have we humbled ourselves to identify ourselves with him? In other words, have we come to the foot of the cross and see the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross of Calvary and say to him, "Lord, I am willing to be crucified with you"? Yes, have we come to that position? Except we have come to that position, my dear friends, we are really not true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we have the Lord in our hearts, we are really, in actual fact, crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have identified ourselves with him. My dear friends, have you identified yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to a position where you say, "Lord, please come into my heart, be my Savior, take my sins away, cleanse me by your precious blood"? Except we do that, except we identify ourselves with him, we have no part at all in his kingdom. Next, I'd like us to see that Joshua received his inheritance from the people. He received the inheritance from the people. Look at Joshua 19:50 again. According to the word of the Lord, they, referring to the children of Israel, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath Serah in Mount Ephraim. And he built the city and dwelt therein. They honored him. The people honored him. And so they gave him what he asked for. Now the question that we must ask is, why did they honor him? Why? They did so. Why? Because he was worthy of honor. That's the reason. Here was one who was faithful to the Lord. Here was one who had great faith in the one true living God. Here was one who was an exemplary leader. Here was one who was selfless and who was humble. My dear friends, here was one who was willing to give his all for the people. Yes? In other words, we might say that Joshua was absolutely honorable. And not only was he honorable, not only did he have these qualities, but very importantly, he came across to the people as having these qualities. He was seen as being honorable. My dear friends, it's very, very important that we not only be honorable, but we be seen as being honorable. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been exhorted to seek those things which are honorable. Paul, in writing to the Christians in the city of Philippi, exhorted the people to seek things which are honorable. He said to them in Philippians 4:8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." My dear friends, we are exhorted to think, to seek and think on these very, very honorable things. But you know, the trouble with us is that we could be seeking these honorable things, but we do not come across as being honorable. That's the problem. We could be seeking, but we do not come across as being honorable to people. Many times we say to ourselves, and we say, "So long as I am right in the sight of the one true living God, so long as I am seeking all these honorable things, I really do not care what people think about me." My dear friends, do we not come across as being very defensive? Sometimes we do come across that way when we are engaged in an argument or we want to justify ourselves. We say this, "So long as I'm right in the sight of God, I really do not care what you say." Yes, don't we do that? Yes, I think many a time we are guilty of doing that. And when we do a thing like that, we might just come across as being very proud. Yes, don't we? We do come across as being proud. Now, if I think on these honorable things, and I miss out this line, all right, this among the honorable things, I miss out this line. Whatsoever things that are of a good report, whatsoever things that are of a good report, if I miss out this line, when I think of the honorable things, and this is one of the honorable things, I really miss a lot of things in regards to this exhortation given by the Apostle Paul. You see, the Lord definitely tells us to seek those things that are of a good report. Good report from whom? Of course, good report first of all from the one true living God. And good report also from our fellow men. Let's not forget, not only from God, but from our fellow men. In other words, it is very, very important that we be seeking those things which are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and so forth. But friends, we must be seen as people seeking those things. Not just our seeking those things, but come across as seeking all these honorable things. Yes, the Lord wants us to be seen as people who are very, very honorable. Yes. Now we note that the people saw that Joshua was one who was very honorable. And Joshua 19 verse 50 says, "According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. According to the word of the Lord, the people gave him the city which he asked. In other words, the people honored him. They honored him according to the word of God. So let's learn from Joshua to be honorable and to be seen as honorable. And let's learn from the children of Israel. They knew how to honor Joshua. They saw Joshua as being honorable and they honored him. Now let's learn this learn that it is actually very, very important that we honor our leaders in accordance to the word of God. Now it is true that the Lord says that if a person wants to be chief, he must be willing to serve, and that's absolutely true. But we must not take it to mean that we do not have to exercise respect, or we do not have to show honor to our leaders. Yes, after all, they are called to serve. Let them serve. We don't have to accord them the respect and honor. And that's not what it means. Now, one of the problems in our human relationship is that we allow familiarity to breed contempt. The more we know of a person, the less we respect that person. And this seems to be true also in our relationship with our leaders. The more we know of our leaders, yes, the less respect we show them. But friends, let's remember that our leaders, they are like us. Of course, they are sinners like us. They are weak people, they are like us. But then the word of God says that we are to honor them according to the word of God. The Israelites honored Joshua according to the word of God. So must we honor God's servants, God's leaders, according to the word of God. And let us not just pay lip service. Yeah, I honor so and so, I respect so and so. Friends, it's not just lip service. We must show our honoring in a very practical way. Now, for example, okay, in regards to those who are serving the Lord full time, I'm giving this to you as an example, full time. Let's be sure that we provide for them adequately. In other words, let us be sure that they are adequately remunerated. Now, by the way, I'm not speaking about myself, all right? In the last 22 years, the Lord has been very good to us. The Lord has provided for me and my wife very adequately. And then the members of the congregation have been very good to us all these years. Right? But I'm talking about future ministers who come here to serve. My dear friends, let us be sure that they are well provided for. If we say that we honor them, that is what we must be doing. I read you from God's word, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 to 9. The basic principle that we must apply in regards to honoring our people who serve the Lord in a very, very practical way. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 to 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 to 9. Yes, Paul writes, "Who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charge?" In other words, you go to war at your own expenses. Now, you don't do that, right? Then, "Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof?" You plant a vineyard, you should be the one who is the partaker of the fruits of your vineyard. Yes? Or "Who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock?" And then, "Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox, the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn." In other words, if the ox works, you feed the ox. Yes, that is basic. So if we say that we truly want to honor our full-time workers, the servants of the Lord, if we want to honor them because they are spiritual leaders, my dear friends, let us be sure that they are adequately remunerated. Finally, let us see that he received his reward last. Right? Joshua received his reward last. He was first in rank, yet he received his reward last. The order of the world is, if you are first, you get the first reward, right? So powerful dictators of the world would set the pattern for those who follow him. Yes, he must have the first bite of the wealth of the country. and the bite, you can be sure, must be a very, very big one and must be the best one. Yes? And then usually we find that his gains are ill-gotten. Yes? They are received through corrupt means, and then they receive bribes, and then before anything can get into the coffer of the country, yes, they make sure that they will have the first portion before that substance goes into the coffer. But friends, very often we see that the first don't remain the first. Justice often has a way of catching up with them. So we see many corrupt leaders do not remain in power all the time, because they become old, they lose support from the people, they lose control, and people in the country can become very, very dissatisfied, very, very unhappy when they feel that they have been cheated, robbed by the corrupt leaders that they have. They then will put pressure on these leaders to make restitution. First, they will disgrace them, and then they will compel them to pay up. So you see, the first don't remain first. The first might be first, but friends, they will end up last. They receive the just rewards by being disgraced. Now, the first could be last in another sense. You take the case of the rich fool spoken of by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 12, one character that I very often cite from this pulpit. Yes, the rich fool. Now, he could have been the first among all the farmers. In other words, he could be the richest among the farmers. His farms had yielded great producers, and then he looked at his barns and said, my barns are just too small. I'll pull down these barns and I'll build bigger barns. And then after my barns are all filled up, when I'm very, very wealthy, not that he was not wealthy, already he was wealthy, but when I become very, very wealthy, then I'll tell my soul, take it easy, have a good time, enjoy yourself. But that night, the Lord said to him, thou fool, tonight your soul is required of you. Then whose shall all these things be that you have laid up in the barn? Whose? So this man was a fool, because God did not feature in his plan at all. Was he first or was he last in receiving his reward? Yes, obviously last. But friends, not Joshua. He received his reward last, but he did so in accordance to God's word. That reward he received, because it was from the Lord, had to be the best for him. For Joshua, it might not be the best for other people. What other people got might be good for them, but might not be good for Joshua. But what the Lord gave to Joshua, although Joshua received it last, it was the best for him. Friends, let us never be so concerned that we might be receiving our reward last. If the reward comes to us, even if it's last, right, even if we are the last to get the reward, you can be sure that if it comes from the Lord, the gift is the perfect gift. Because the word of God says, every good and perfect gift does come from above. If it is from him, the gift has to be the best. Now the first could be last in another sense, in our receiving rewards. The Lord says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, very famous verse, I think we all know it, let's say it, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now let's say it again, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now the proud and the mighty, who are regarded as first in the eyes of men, are not going to inherit this earth. The meek will, yes, but not the proud and the mighty. They think that they might have already gotten a big chunk of the earth, because they could be very wealthy, they could have huge possessions, they could have lots of land, beautiful houses, and so on and so forth. But the truth is, they can't escape this fact that when they leave this earth, they are not going to bring anything along with them. Yes, they will have to leave everything behind. For the truth is, naked we came into this world, and for sure naked we are going to leave this world. But friends, the meek, those who humble themselves, are willing to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. Those who are willing to surrender themselves to the Lord, and who realize that they are really nothing and truly nothing, and they could do nothing without the Lord. These are the meek, and these are the ones who are going to inherit the earth. I'm not saying that they are materially poor. They could be materially rich. But friends, they are willing to yield themselves to the Lord, willing to surrender themselves to the Lord, and willing to see themselves as being nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they will inherit the earth. Their King, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come again someday. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, He is going to rule on this earth. And the meek, the Word of God says what? The meek shall inherit the earth. The meek will be ruling with Him. Now the meek might be last in the eyes of men, because they are not striving to be great and mighty on this earth. And it is true, in terms of time, they will be getting the rewards last, and that's true. But friends, the truth is, their rewards will be first. First in value, my dear friends, first in value, because that inheritance or that reward, the reward that they will get, is an everlasting reward. It is the greatest reward, and it is the everlasting reward. So believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who are aiming to be meek in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us be very, very comforted. A day will come when we will have our reward, our inheritance. Yes, in time we could be the last to receive all this wonderful inheritance, but you can be sure this inheritance has got the greatest value. Number one in value, first in value, because the value is eternal, and it is eternally great. Next, as we said, we must learn from the humility of Joshua. If we want to serve the Lord effectively, we must have this quality of humility. Joshua was willing to dwell among his brethren. Let us learn to be humble, my dear friends, if we want to serve the Lord effectively. Then the people honored Joshua by giving him the land that he asked for. Now, why did they honor him? They honored him because he was honorable, and not only was he honorable, he was seen to be honorable. Now, my dear friends, if we want to be effective witnesses for the Lord, we must not only be honorable, but we must also be seen as being honorable. We must also aim to receive a good report from men. And then let us learn from the children of Israel. They honored Joshua. Let us be sure, my dear friends, that we also would honor our leaders according to the Word of God, just as the children of Israel honored Joshua in accordance to the Word of God. Then we see that Joshua received his reward last, but it was a reward from the Lord. And because it was a reward from the Lord, even though he received it last, that reward was the best for him. Now, today, we believers, if we are truly meek, as we said earlier on, might be last in the eyes of the world because we are not seeking to be great and mighty on this earth. And it is also true in terms of time we will be receiving our reward last. But friends, our reward, our inheritance will be the number one inheritance. First in value, because that inheritance that we are going to receive is one that has eternal value. It's going to last forever and ever. And be very, very comforted, my dear friends. We might be receiving our reward last, but a day will come when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and then when He rules this earth, we will all be ruling with Him. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your mercies. We thank You for the example set by this great servant of Yours, Joshua, one who received his inheritance in accordance to Your word. Father, and we, to to do so, to act in accordance to your word, he made sure that he glorified your holy name through his behavior, through his conduct. He was willing to be, not to be self-centered, but was willing to be sacrificial and be willing to act in faith to receive his inheritance last. Help us, O Lord God, that when we are seeking provisions from you, we must remember this basic truth, and that is that we must put you first, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that all these things that we are in need of will be added unto us. In other words, O Lord God, we realize that we ought not to be self-seeking, but always seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and be very, very selfless and be acting in faith. And Lord, we pray that you will teach us so that we may not only want to be honorable and seeking things that are honorable, help us that we may be seen as honorable in our relationship with other people, so that we may be the witnesses that you want us to be. And finally, O Lord God, help us to realize that even though we might be receiving our reward last, if the reward is from you in accordance to your word, it has to be the best reward. It has to be the best gift. It has to be the best inheritance. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us this blessed hope of receiving this wonderful privilege from you, that one day when the Lord returns, we will be ruling with him when he rules this earth. Thank you, O Lord God, for this great privilege. And we know that one day we will be receiving this reward if we truly believe in you, are meek, and are meek in your sight. For we pray and ask all these things with thanksgiving in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.